Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Okay, so here are the questions. Zach, are you encouraged by last month's ruling that North Carolina's legislative maps are unconstitutional? Yes, I know you spent a lot of time working on the gerrymandering issue.
That sounds like a joke to the audience. But it's true.
It is true.
I'm very, very...
You care.
Well, North Carolina... Listen, both sides have done it for many years, but I think in North Carolina... it was so...
So crazy
that... people had to step in and say something. And
well, just to give the stats, I think there were 13 legislative districts. 9 were Republican, and the state was dead even.
Yes.
So, that I mean, that
and,
right
and
there.
It really is the summary of what that is, what is happening there. It's politicians picking the voters.
Yes.
And that's all it is versus the other way around.
Right. I mean, it's a, you know, that's another reason why we have to worry, is that the Democrats don't have to just win. They have to win so big to overcome the cheating.
The Democrats don't play dirty. They need to learn to play a little dirty. I mean, if this, when they go low, we go high. Yeah. When you go low, go to the side and give them a noogie when they're not looking. I mean, that's the answer. I mean, you don't, this, you don't come to a gunfight with a knife. If the other guy's got a gun, you got to bring a gun. That's it. I mean, simple.
But I think they're working on this Donald Trump
thing. They're bringing
Trump
a covered dish.
I think with Trump looking so much like he's a combination of unhinged and not polite and all these kind of the things, I think the opposite is in fact, don't go down to that level because you're selling yourself as the alternative to that.
Yeah,
you want to have a country where we don't treat each other that badly anymore? Vote for me. If you want the country where we call each other scum, vote for the other guy.
By the way, there's a way of playing dirty without using terms like human scum. When I say play dirty, play to win. Play to win. Play hard.
That's what we did.
In your face. And they just don't. There's a wimpiness to the Democratic Party. Yeah. And you said something a few weeks ago that's so true. Donald Trump's essence of his brand is strength. Whether you like him, whether you hate him, there is a strength there. And that's what people follow. And the Democrats, I have never seen a Democrat in this iteration, this group, that projects strength. And that's concerning.
Okay.
Depends how you define strength.
I think it's a false strength that Trump. I think that's all false, that strength.
He's a bully.
Yeah.
He's a underneath it.
He's a
wuss.
Coward. Yeah.
But he projects
his.
Right.
But his.
Sorry, I didn't mean that.
I'm over it.
Okay.
I think that, look, I mean, you know, the whole. I'm very. Now you know. I think that harshness is a false proxy for strength. That's what this president is. I think that you can be strong and sweet. Compassion is a kind of strength. And I think that
strong and good.
I think there are different types of power. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I like having the Congresswoman on the show is incredible forensic background, incredible incisiveness. But not everything is about somebody else having to suck in her analysis. And I think that that's a big difference. And I think there's an angle for that. You know, why does why do your editorial comments in that last segment resonate so much? Because even though there's a rapier wit there, you know, there's an edge to it. It's not everybody else has to lose for you to win. And I think that that's what people are really hungry for. They're sick of everything being a nail and him being a hammer.
And if you want to talk about how Democrats can win, it's having a positive, affirmative vision of the future instead of just harping on Donald Trump.
You could
obsessively focusing on Donald Trump.
You can't harp on Donald Trump because that was a losing proposition. What you can harp on is how Donald Trump is going to hurt and continue to hurt your life.
Sure,
and
but you never made that turn. But I think it's fair. A criticism I hear, you know, in my district is we don't know what Democrats always stand for.
Right.
What's your hat? Like Donald Trump has his hat, Make America Great Again. What's your hat, Melissa?
Right.
And I think it's important that we articulate that, especially talking about people's pocketbooks and their kids. Because for everyone who's on Twitter in the audience here, that is not where my district is. My district wants their government to run. Just basics, the basics. And until we can articulate how we're going to help people, we're just going to be clamoring to get and compete with Donald Trump.
But doesn't that get you in a problem, though? Isn't clamoring to help people things like the Medicare for All and all these other things, which are examples of trying to help people's real problems, but they also give ammunition to the enemy or the other side who would say that's socialized medicine, or, you know, we have another socialist who wants to do Medicare for All and you can't afford it. But Medicare for All might be seen as a way to help more Americans.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You tell 160 million Americans that they can't have their choose their private insurance, you're going to lose an election.
Right.
And these people are smoking crack. You know, forget about not even paying, being able to pay for $34 trillion. My grandfather was a cop, okay? And my mother was a school teacher, and they worked really hard to put me in a position where I can buy the kind of insurance I want. And if I can't, or the people on this panel, I can't buy it for my children, we are going backwards. We're fucking Denmark, okay?
But remember, the problem wasn't that you couldn't buy insurance. It's that you could buy insurance and still end up broke when you needed it at the end. I mean, the insurance had too many loopholes, so you get the government in to help that. And then we end up, you know.
And I have to say, no matter who's up on that debate stage, every single Democrat wants to protect health care and make it more affordable, whereas the Republicans want to take it away and make it more expensive, period.
There you go. That almost fits on a hat. What? Yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting point. I was going to ask you this for a minute at a time. I don't think the networks, including CNN, should be doing the debates, because I think networks have to make a profit. And I think when you have to make a profit, you have to put on a show, and a debate shouldn't be a show. It used to be the League of Women Voters who did it, you know, or have professors do it.
Run it on all three stations at once, too, remember? Run it on all three networks at once in the old days, too.
Yeah, that's right. Except there's more than three networks now, Dan.
Exactly.
You have to run it on all 500.
Yeah, totally.
Stream it, and, you know, it would be a little more difficult. But what do you think about that?
I think that the party...
Careful, Chris. Zucker's watching.
I think that, well, I mean, you know, the boss has made good decisions about what to do to have CNN positioned right. But when you have the party in control of it, they have an extraordinary amount of leverage. How many people are going to be there? What kinds of questions? And if you don't hit the targets that they're asking you to, you may not get another at-bat. And I think that's a lot of leverage. And I think that if you can decentralize it and have it be special interest groups that throw the debates, that dynamic goes out the window.
Well, I would hardly call the League of Women Voters a special interest group. What is the interest group? Voting?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I'm saying if you remove it...
Daughters?
From the,
I mean...
I'm making your point. I'm saying that if you remove it from the parties...
Oh, yeah.
...and put it into, you know, these other non, you know, specifically partisan groups, you decentralize the power.
Okay. Dan Carlin, what do you think of polling that says 70% of Americans believe the U.S. is on the edge of a civil war?
I don't love polling because I thought we got burned on a couple of elections following the poll, so I'm not sure if I
say it's 60%.
Okay. Well, listen,
I say it's only 6 out of 10 Americans who think we're on the verge of a civil war.
I think the problem
good or bad war, thing.
We are not a geographic.
A bad thing, not a good thing.
It is a bad thing that we are on the verge of civil war.
Well, you want to see what
is it true?
A civil war? Trump loses. He will tell people to take to the streets.
That's what I've been saying.
I mean, forget that he's not going.
I've been
one step further than that.
Right.
He is going to say, I'm trying to take the president.
And
take
by the
to
way,
the streets.
An umpire, I think he's working the World Series. Did you see this story? He tweeted out, what did he say? Something like, if they try to impeach my president, I'm getting my MAGA hat and my AK and getting in the streets. And I can't really comment on baseball because I'm involved with it, but I don't think that's right. Especially from somebody who's supposed to be impartial calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, but this reality show that's got a little shits and giggles in it, ain't going to be any shits and giggles left if he loses and what
all
happens.
Right. So we're going to Guantanamo Bay together.
You and I will love her.
You're friends with Kellyanne Conway. I'm friends with Ann Coulter. We're going to need these people. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.